I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to Psalm 121, please. Psalm 121, we've been looking at this little series, short series, that we'll conclude this morning, Help for Hurting Christians, and I want to talk to you this morning about help from on high. Somebody said to me, you've dealt with some of these psalms before. I sure have. Spurgeon said, when you preach it 1,000 times, then you know it. Well, I haven't preached it 1,000 times yet, but that's what the great preacher said. He said, when you preach it 1,000 times, then you know it. And I want to look at this psalm this morning, and I want to give you 3 things from the psalm that I haven't given you before. First of all, I want to talk to you about the source of our help. The source of our help. And then I want to talk to you about the strength of our help. And then I want to talk to you about the scope of our help, the source of our help. God is above us. The strength of our help, God is with us. The scope of our help, God is for us. Verse 1, you'll notice it says a song of degrees. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence doth my help come? Where does my help come from? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade or shadow upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Incidentally, the first division is at verse 4. And the second division is at verse 6. The third division is at verse 7. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. A Hollywood maternity shop received this note in the mail. Dear sir, you have not yet delivered that maternity dress I ordered. Please cancel the order. My delivery was faster than yours. Sometimes babies do come sooner than expected. Doctors can set the date, but God ordains the date. Doctors are human. They're just like you and me. They make mistakes, but God never makes a mistake. And now babies require a lot of attention, they require a lot of affection, they require a lot of TLC. Someone has said a perfect example of minority rule is a baby in the home. Babies sometimes make a lot of noise. They make a lot of commotion. They can't do anything for themselves. Babies can eat, they can feed, but only if you put the bottle into their mouth. And even then, you have to hold the bottle for them. And then after they stop eating, they can't wind themselves. They need help. Babies can't clean up for themselves. They can't even change their own nappies. They can't wash themselves. They can't dress themselves. And when they're born, they certainly can't entertain themselves. They are totally dependent on their parents for every help they need. Babies require a lot of help, and so do we. Even as we go through the different stages of life, from babyhood into adolescence, into youth, into maturity, into old age, there is not one stage of life that we do not require help. At every stage in our lives, we require help. Indeed, is this not one of the most powerful, pungent words in the English language? Help. It's the cry of a mother with 4 children and 3 dogs and 2 cats after a week at home when her husband has been in the United States on a business trip. Help. It's the cry of a college student who's sitting down to his final exams only to discover that he's studied the wrong chapters. Help. It's the cry of a man who's sitting at a table surrounded by a pile of unpaid bills and hungry children and an empty bank account with no job in sight. Help. It's the cry of a woman who has poured her heart into her hearth and into her home for 25 years, only to have the husband that she loves walks in and say, "I'm leaving you. I've met someone else. I don't love you anymore." I wonder, have you ever been in a position where you needed help? More than that, I wonder, have you ever been in a position when the only one that could really help you was the Lord? When your back was against the wall, when you were standing at wit's end corner, and you knew that the only person who could help you was God. The psalmist was in dire need of help. Evidently, he was in such a position and predicament that there was no other one that could help him but God. Now, this psalm, to put it in its historical setting, it may have been written in the days of Hezekiah, when the Assyrian army had come up against Judah and they were surrounding the city of Jerusalem, and that godly king Hezekiah was scared. If that was the case, there was plenty of cause for fear. It was either surrender or siege, battle and bloodshed, unceasing war, pestilence, famine. And if surrender eventually came, an infuriated army would follow and crush the city. As you hold up your Bible to this wonderful psalm this morning, you'll notice three words at the top of the psalm. Look at them for a moment. It says, a song of degrees, or a song of ascents. What does that mean? Well, there are 15 of these psalms, from Psalm 120 to Psalm 134. And the Hebrew word decrees or ascents comes from a root that means to go up, as an ascending stairway. You see, in those ancient days, these Israelites would travel up to Jerusalem. Incidentally, you're always going up to Jerusalem. And they would travel up to Jerusalem 2,700 feet in elevation. And they would go there for the three annual feasts of the Lord. Coming from whatever distant town they called home, the pilgrims would make this long journey by foot. They would be walking with their family. They would be walking with their friends. They would be going up as pilgrims to the city of Jerusalem. They were eager for good times in the holy city. They were anxious to see their family and their friends again. And as they made their way as pilgrims, going up to the city of Jerusalem, they would sing these psalms together. Maybe on holiday as a family, you've sang in the car. Maybe on the way to church, you put in a tape, a children's tape or whatever, and you've sang on the way to church. It must have been a tremendous comfort for these pilgrims as they were making their way up to the city of Jerusalem for these three annual feasts of Jehovah, as they reminded themselves of God's care, God's protection, and God's help. My friends, what about our spiritual journey this morning? You see, these ancient psalms are not limited to ancient history. They contain essential truths for our journey through life to our eternal home. You see, the Bible never lies by claiming that life is easy. The Christian life is no free pass. But somehow, we get the mistaken idea that when we face trouble, as invariably we will, we come to the conclusion that the presence of trouble means the absence of God. A greater mistake cannot be made. And so I want you to turn your thoughts for a moment and your eyes for a moment to this psalm. Because this psalm is all about help from on high. Notice first of all the source of our help from verses 1 through 4. God is above us. I was reading about Joseph Parker in this past week, and he was the preacher in the city temple when Spurgeon was in the Metropolitan Temple. And many years ago, Parker said to his congregation, he says, "Some people have found fault with me." Incidentally, some people find fault with me. Some people, he said, find fault with me. They say I'm old-fashioned. They say I'm out of date. They say I'm always quoting the Bible. He says, well, let's turn to science this morning. There's a poor widow in the congregation. She's just lost her only son in death. She wants to know if she'll ever see him again. Science will give us the answer, and I'll put my Bible away. And so he put his Bible away, and he asked the congregation, according to science, what will this woman do? Will she see her son again? Where is her boy? Will death end all? What does science say? There was a long pause, and then Joseph Parker said, we're waiting for an answer. The dear woman is anxious. And after a long pause, Parker spoke again and said, what? What? Science has nothing to say about death and about dying? Then we must look at the old book again. And with those words, Joseph Parker picked up his Bible and he read several passages. I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. The dead in Christ will rise first. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And then Joseph Parker closed his Bible and patted it affectionately and said, we'll stick to the book. I wonder, have you discovered that the greatest source of your help is the Lord and the word of the Lord? You see, the psalmist did what we all tend to do when we're in trouble. He looked every place but the right place. He tried everything but the right thing. He asked every person but the right person. He found every avenue that he went down a dead-end street. Now, Bible scholars will tell you, they're all agreed that the opening verse of the psalm should be changed. Have a look at it. It's not that the psalmist thought that his help would come from the hills. Occupied by the Assyrians, possibly. Previously, the scene of idolatrous worship. No, that's not what the psalmist is saying. He makes a statement. He says, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills, full stop. And then he breaks off and he says, from whence cometh my help? Where am I going to find help? My friend, the answer to the problems that you and I face, that our homes face, that our churches face, that our leaders face, that our nations face, that Europe faces, that the world faces, are not going to be found in the hills of humanistic living, nor in the halls of higher learning, but in the heaven of a holy God. The prophet Jeremiah had already warned the nation, truly, in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains, truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. It seems to me that the psalmist, after a time of doubt and uncertainty and confusion, is regaining his confidence again that God is still in control. Here's the source of our help. My help cometh from the Lord. Now look at the psalm. You'll notice that God is our creator. The Lord is our creator. He made, verse 2, heaven and earth. The idea is simply this, that if God makes the world, if God created the world, he has the power to take care of you and me. What a truth. Our helper is the one who stood on the edge of nothing and called it into existence by the word of his power. Now, can you think of anyone that you would rather have this morning as your helper than the God who created this universe? I'm talking about the God who's higher than the hills. I'm talking about the God who's mightier than the mountains. I'm talking about the God who is above all generals, greater than all generals. I'm talking about the God who created this world with a word and who will cremate this world with a whisper. I'm talking about our God, of whom we're told in Psalm 26 that he's the great God that formed all things. I'm talking about the God of whom Jeremiah said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. There is nothing too hard for thee." My friends, this morning, the God who created this world, controls this world, he can do anything in this world, through this world, for this world, with this world, as he pleases, as he chooses to do. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Now, do you realize this morning that God is your help in time of trouble and your hope in time of tragedy? If only I could realize this morning how great my God is. If only we could grasp this morning something of the greatness of God. When we come to those times when God is the only help that we have, we would realize that God is the only help that we need. He made the heaven and earth. He's the creator of all things. Do you know what the experts tell us about the sun? They tell us, for example, that the sun is a ball of fire. They tell us that the astronomers classify the sun as a moderate star. It's just an average-sized star. They tell us that it has a diameter of 864,000 miles. It's all gas, 2 billion tons of gas. Then they tell us there is the crushing weight of 1 million pounds of matter over every square inch of the sun's core. In fact, the only thing that keeps the sun from collapsing is energy. Unbelievable floods of energy that raise the sun's internal temperature to 25 million degrees Fahrenheit. Isn't that amazing? It consumes 657 million tons of hydrogen every second. And yet the experts tell us that the sun can go on burning for another 50 billion years. And yet that massive star this morning couldn't cause one sweat to fall from the brow of our great God. I don't know what kind of problem you may be facing this morning in the weariness of the journey. I'm certain to you, as it seems to me, that it may seem all but insurmountable. But will you just take a fresh look at God this morning? The God who created you, the God who created the world, the God who sustains this world by the word of his power. Now let me ask you this morning, do you think he's up to the challenge of your problem? Do you think that he's up to the challenge of your crisis? Do you think that he's up to the challenge of your emergency situation? Listen, the psalmist says the Lord is our creator, but don't stop there. Look at verse 3. He says the Lord is our confirmer. He'll not suffer thy foot to be moved back to the journey. They're going up to Jerusalem. The word move means to slip, it means to slide, it means to stagger, it means to be shaken. Can you imagine they're going up as a family to the city of Jerusalem? They're going up for the 3 annual feasts of Jehovah. And can you imagine an uneven surface? And they're going up to the city of Jerusalem, and some of them will stumble or sprain an ankle. They're walking on that uneven, rocky path. My friends, every now and then, the adversities that you face and the adversities that I face that come into your home, that come into your life, may put a blush on your face. You may stagger, but you'll never fall, because God will never allow your foot to be moved. There's a wonderful promise in Proverbs 3. It says, "Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the consolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken." The feet that are standing on the solid rock of ages can never stumble, never slip, never falter. When others are falling at our side, the man of God who stands for God will not and cannot fail. Now, all that I want you to do this morning is just get your eyes on the greatness of God. The Lord is our creator. The Lord is our confirmer, but don't stop there. Look at verse 3. The Lord is our comforter. He will not suffer thy foot from being moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Do you see when you got up in this morning? The Lord didn't. Our God never sleeps. When Alexander the Great was asked why he could sleep so soundly when he was surrounded by so much danger and threat to his life, his answer was this: Parmeno, my faithful guard, watches over me. No parent can watch his child 24/7, but God does. You ever heard the old saying? Out of sight, out of mind. My friend, you're never out of his sight. You're never off his mind. God knows you. Aren't you glad this morning that God knows you? Isn't it incredible that the God who created the heavens and the earth, the God who sustains the heavens and the earth, he knows you by name. You may not like the name that your parents give you, but God knows you by name. And he not only knows you by name this morning, but he knows the number of hairs on your head. The Lord knows all that. Well, don't you think this morning he's up to date with the larger issues of your life? Don't you think he cares and feels deeply this morning about who you feel? God is on watch. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, 100 years a century, 10 centuries a millennium. And the reason that you should be able to sleep at night is because he doesn't. You remember when David was being hunted by his own son Absalom, there was a wanted sign put out on David. It said, "Wanted David." David was to be shot on sight. Here he was. I can see him in my mind's eye going down the valley of Kidron, going across the Kidron Valley, up ascending up the Mount of Olives. I can see David and those who were faithful to David's cause, and his own son has kicked him out of the city. His own flesh and blood has betrayed him, and he was to be shot in sight. And David said, "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." The Lord is your creator this morning. The Lord is your confirmer. The Lord is your controller. Back in the days of the Second World War, when the Germans were bombing London almost every night, after a particularly devastating run in a certain city, the citizens began to search through the ruins of the city. They were looking for the dead and the dying and the missing. And in this particular city, their search was intense. And there was a godly own grandmother that they couldn't find. And they looked everywhere, and then somebody eventually found her asleep in her little bedroom. They couldn't believe it. They come in and said, "Mrs. Smith, how could you sleep? All of those bombers coming overhead, how could you sleep?" "Well," she says, "you know it says in the Bible that he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. So I figured there was no need for both of us to stay up all night, and so I went to bed." Have you ever paced the floor at night because of your kids? Have you ever paced the floor at night because of some financial problem? Because of some illness? Because of some burden that's pressing in on your life? My friend, do you know this morning God works the night shift? He's always there when you need him most. In the loneliest, darkest hour of the night, he's there. He never slumbers. He never sleeps. The source of our help, God, is above us. But notice quickly, the strength of our help, God is with us. Back to the psalm. And notice what the psalmist says, verse 5. He says, the Lord is thy keeper. Several times in the psalm we find this word keep. In fact, it's used six different times in this one psalm. It means to guard. It means to protect. It speaks of this. A fully equipped soldier standing by the one he is to protect and guard. You see, the Lord protects us from our enemies. In ancient times, a soldier had two primary weapons. He had a shield and he had a sword. His most valued weapon was the shield. It was in his left hand. His only defense was the shield. It was in his left hand. And so the most vulnerable part of the soldier was his right hand. I want you to see where the Lord stands this morning. He stands at our most vulnerable point. Look at verse 5. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shield upon thy right hand. He stands with his strength at my point of weakness. He deliberately takes up a position beside me so that he can defend me. Defend me from my friends. Defend me from my foes. Defend me from my family. The psalmist says the Lord is our shield. It can be translated shadow. God is our shadow. You know something this morning? My dear friend, your shadow follows you every moment of the day. God is your shield at your right hand. It's like he's standing on guard at your right hand all the time. No matter where we go, no matter what situation we face, right there, he's by our side. No matter who opposes us, no matter what the world throws at us, God is there. Is that not encouraging? God is beside me. In fact, the Lord Jesus says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. The American Indians had a unique practice of training young braves. On the night of the 13th birthday of that young man, after learning hunting and fishing and various other skills, he was put to one final test. He was placed in a dense forest for one evening, the entire night alone. Up until that moment in his life, he had never left the security of his family, his tribe, but they took him that night and they placed him in a dense forest all alone. And when they took the blindfold off, because they brought him into the midst of the forest with the blindfold, and when they took the blindfold off, he was in the middle of thick woods and he was terrified. Every time he heard a twig snap, he thought it was wild animals ready to pounce. And after what seemed like an eternity, the dawn broke and the first rays of the sun began to come through the forest. And as the first rays of the sun began to come through the forest, he could see a path out of the woods. He could see the flowers. He could see the trees. He could hear the birds singing sweetly. And then, surprised, he saw a man just a few feet away. And the man was standing there with a bow and an arrow. And as he looked a little more intently, he realized that it was his father. And he had been standing by his side all the night long. You see those times when you're terrified? Those periods when you visualize all sorts of things are going to happen. Will you remember this morning that your father's by your side? He's on your right hand. He's your shield. What the psalmist is saying is this: the Lord protects us from our enemies. But look again, verse 6. He says, the Lord protects us from the elements. Many of you know all about the Mediterranean sun. You know all about the danger of sunstroke. The other danger was moonstroke. You may not know so much about that. One affects the body, the sunstroke. One affects the mind, the moonstroke. And what the psalmist is saying is this: the Lord is able to keep us by day or by night. It makes no difference to him. The Lord will keep us by day. The sun shall not strike thee by day. So often the trials that we go through are fiery trials. Peter explicitly warns us in his letter, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." Sometimes it gets hot in the kitchen. But my dear friends, God never puts you in the kitchen where you cannot stand the heat. God is your shade. The Lord will keep us by day. The Lord will keep us by night. People believed that moonlight brought dangers. Lunar. Lunatic. Mind. All deriving from the moon. People believed in those days, and even in our days, that people could be affected not only by the sun, but by the moon. The psalmist is simply saying that the Lord is there to shelter us from all that would harm us by day or by night. You ever suffer from night fears? You young people know nothing about this, but some of you older people know what I'm talking about. You ever suffer from night fears? Have you come to fear the night, the darkness of it all, the loneliness of it all? Maybe it holds special terror for you. Listen, the Lord is with you. In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. When the waters cool flow, bathe the weary one's feet. God leads his dear children along, some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood, some through the sorrow, some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night seasons and all the day long. Now look, the source of our help. God's above us. He's our creator. He's our confirmer. He's our comforter. The strength of our help. God is with us. Look at the last two verses, and I'm just going to quote them to you. The source, the scope of our help, God is for us. You see how the psalm ends? The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. The Lord preserves us from all evil. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in. The Lord preserves us from all evil. Secondly, the Lord preserves us every day. It's a wonderful Old Testament idiom that describes the routines of life. Do you ever feel like me? That you're a slave to the demands of every day? You ever feel that way? You go in, you come out, you go in, you come out, you go in, you come out. And in your darker moments, you ask the question, is God involved in all of this? Does the Lord care about the endless treadmill of my life? Well, he preserves you in your coming in and in your going out. You know what the Orthodox Jews take Deuteronomy 6, 9, and 11, 20 literally. You say, well, what does that say? It says, and thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates. And the Jewish people, the Orthodox Jews, they affix small metal boxes. They call them mezuzahs. And they contain scripture portions, and they fix those metal boxes to the right-hand door of each house. And every time they go out, they touch that box reverently. And every time they come into their house, they touch that box reverently again. Isn't it wonderful to know this morning that as we go in and out of the house, as we go to and from the country, as we fly from one place to another, our Father's with us, and he cares for every need. The Lord preserves us from all evil. The Lord preserves you, burdened Christian, every day. Ah, but look at the final statement. The Lord preserves us for eternity. He not only preserves us from all evil, he not only preserves us every day, but he preserves us for eternity. And thy coming out and going in from this time forth and even forevermore. And that is one of the greatest one-sentence statements of eternal security found in the Word of God. Sometimes people say to me, can I lose my salvation? No. You're eternally secure. Once in Christ forever, nothing from His love can sever. Will you say, what about those times when I'm not faithful to God? My dear friends, let me give you some good news this morning. Even when you're not faithful to God, God is always faithful to you, and it's His faithfulness that counts. Now, can you see them? They're going up to the city. They're singing the psalms. One of them might sing, my help cometh from the Lord. Some others might take a different part of the psalm. But they're singing. And they're recognizing the source of their help. God is above them. They're recognizing the strength of their help. God is with them. They're recognizing the scope of their help. God is for them. My friend, this morning, if God be for you, who can be against you? Some years ago, a national magazine in the United States assigned a photographer to take pictures of a forest fire. They told him a small plane would be waiting for him at the airport, and all that he had to do was hop on the plane, and so he jumped on the plane an hour before sundown. He jumped into the small Cessna plane and shouted to the pilot, let's go. The pilot looked very tense. Anyhow, he took off. He turned the plane into the wind and they were flying, though somewhat erratically. The photographer who was in the seat behind the pilot, he said, fly over the north side of the fire. He said, make several low passes. Why? Asked the anxious pilot. He says, I'm going to take pictures. He says, I'm a photographer, and photographers take pictures, you know. The pilot retorted, you mean you're not the flight instructor? I wonder this morning, are you like that pilot? Are you putting your confidence in the wrong people? Or are you depending on help from on high? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the comfort and encouragement of your word. We thank you that the Lord is with us, the Lord is above us, and the Lord is for us. Help us, our Father, just to keep our eyes upon Thee. We recognize that it's so easy at times to get our eyes on the circumstances. Oh God, we pray that our confidence might be in the Lord and that our trust might be in the God who changes not. So bless your word to all of our hearts this morning, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.